have that conversation.
Let's do it.
So what was it that you asked? What do I believe?
What do you believe, Santiago?
So I'm with you, but a little bit less, like carefree about it, I guess.
Sure.
Like, I don't believe in God, to the extent that I find it scientifically and statistically unlikely, that there is, and we might be better off, not creating belief systems that, at times create more negative than positive.
And to assume that I'm carefree about it is not exactly the case either, but, no, absolutely. I mean, I grew up Catholic.
Me too.
Yeah, so I think most Catholics end up either becoming more hardcore Catholic or atheist in the long run. But
it cuts really far.
It can, yeah. And my parents, their religion is beautiful, you know, and the way that they approach it is beautiful, and I have nothing but respect for it.
Yeah.
But I just don't get it. It doesn't jive with me. But yeah, to ignore thousands of years of persecution and hatred, and even if the concept of God and Jesus work for you, great.
Yeah.
But I think you have to be really careful.
Yes. And that's why I'm kind of more in line with like Sam Harris, Richard Dawkins sort of.
Yeah.
I'm less of an atheist and a little bit more of an anti-theist. I'm just not as vocal about it because I like having friends.
Yeah. I'd agree with that.
And so, yes, I do think that there are aspects of religion that are really beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You can't walk into a cathedral or a mosque
and not feel something,
see just the incredible amount of art that has gone into it. The like passion, it's real. Mm-hmm. That stuff is real.
Yeah.
But the stuff in between that creates, on one hand, hardship for people who already have enough hardships, and then on the other hand, denying moving forward as humanity.
Yeah.
And so the concept of faith at all, like, I think that I can have faith in someone. I have faith that my girlfriend cares about me and will not kiss another man, given that that is the contract that we have as a relationship.
Sure.
But to have faith that there is, you know, a universal thing that
is controlling or that has
watches
a
it
plan
and doesn't like it when you touch yourself,
right,
is a much farther stretch.
Yeah. Well, it's, I mean, but that's society putting and sounds super conspiracy theory. It's society, man. But no, I mean, a lot of what people believe their religion is seems to be predicated on the idea of things that they didn't agree with in a specific time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and some of it was, I mean, I don't know, some of it was practical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and some it wasn't, and you well, know, and you tend to codify things that are practical that help define a society that you want to form.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we've grown up a lot as a species.
Yeah,
and some of that is a little inhibiting.
Mm-hmm. And that's. That's the part where it starts becoming less just like, just believe what you want, it's fine, and becoming, well, come on, you can't think that evolution isn't real. It's just not.
Well, you can.
Well, yeah,
you can believe that it's not real.
But science. You are denying.
Yeah, you're denying facts.
Yeah.
But we also live in a post-factual world. So, deal with that? You know, that's hard enough to swallow for me.
And to think that, I mean, I felt as though we were making some progress there for a while.
No. No, we weren't. Unfortunately, we weren't because now we've been drugged back to the 1940s.
Yeah. I mean, it seemed like, oh, hey, look, we have, like, facts and...
Facts and figures and science. Like,
oh, cool, we're moving forward. Gay people can get married now. Yeah. That should have been fixed a while back. But, and then, you know...
Yeah. It's insane. It's completely insane.
And I don't understand, like... Maybe it's just because we're also isolated in this like university environment of like progressive people or whatever. I can't understand.
That's not true. I will say this about the commonality of musicians is that we, and people who deal with music on a cellular level every day, is that the amount of acceptance and it's unprecedented because. You have to be able to walk into a room and play music with somebody, regardless of who they are, and be harmonious, and be and to listen and to make compromise with everything you do. And so musicians, to me, have so much tolerance and acceptance just built into who they are.
Sure.
I don't think that it's we're in a university environment that, because let's be honest, we're not in a particularly liberal university, much less a liberal community. And I think that there are, and I'm using the term liberal,
more classical liberal.
Classically, as opposed to, you know, like,
whatever it
university should
now.
Be free, you know. No, I'm not talking like that, but it's I don't know. It's there's just something with the way our brains are wired, and I think so much has to do with the sounds and the way that we communicate and why we want to communicate those ways.
Well, I mean, it kind of goes back to that like vulnerability thing that we were talking about. That like, I make music. I'm a composer.
Right.
I'm much less an engineer, and I don't think that will be what I will be doing. But like, there is a vulnerability that comes in writing a song and then having to show it to other
people.
And so that acceptance that even in my group that like we're recording my music for Studio 4.
That's exciting.
And so like we've done as much as we have so far, but even still, like in the back of my mind, I'm kind of like, do they like this? And so there's a little bit of a requirement for them to just be like, yeah, that was good.
I don't know that there is. You know, if they're truly trying to help, not necessarily change the music, but you know, to give you real feedback.
Sure.
I mean, especially from a classical point, that's you don't get that until years, usually after the thing's been written and it's been recorded, and you know, it takes forever for those pieces to come out.
Yeah.
It's and so much of it is based. There's a lot of ego in classical music for a lot of reasons, and especially on the composer side of things, because you have to be confident enough to say, this is a piece of music. You will play it now.
Well, I mean, I'm a songwriter, and so what we're recording is songs. So, I mean, even still, like, it's just like, I don't know if this is a good song.
Sure, but you know what is good.
Yeah, but going back to the initial topic is that there's a level of like pre-existing acceptance in the fact that like I'm gonna have to be vulnerable here.
Yeah.
For the next few minutes while I sing this song.
Sure.
And if you don't allow me to do so, it'll make this
it'll suffer
process.
Yeah, the whole thing will suffer. Yeah.
Which is why, like, maybe the inacceptance of rural culture or conservative leaning ideals might not make as much sense to me. Given that my three things start with Love Never Fails.
Sure. But that's not a liberal concept.
No. Well, it comes from the Bible. My ring says, it's 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. Mm-hmm. That's where it does come from.
Right.
But the conservative ideal, kind of a little bit more liberal or libertarian ideal, is more like, leave me alone and I'll leave you alone.
Sure.
And we'll coexist, sort of.
That's more of a political statement than it is as a cultural statement, I think. Yeah, there are hardcore libertarians who live in the middle of nowhere and it's like, get off my land. That exists. There are incredibly liberal people who just go live in the woods, who do the same thing. They're just like, I just want to be around nature. Those people are fucking crazy too. You know, it's like, it's not, you know, the idea of live and let live, I don't think is a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
And at its heart, it's the most accepting of all things. It just says, cool, we take gay marriage. It's like, you want to marry your boyfriend? Mm-hmm. I don't care.
Yeah.
I could give a shit less.
Yeah.
I hope you're happy. You know? That's all that matters. You know? Yeah. You do what you're going to do. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. They shouldn't affect one another so long as you're okay with things that are outside of whatever your scope is.
Yeah.
You know? You have to be okay with not being right. You have to be okay with those sorts of things, I feel like. And that, yeah. What was your thing?
Love never fails.
Love never fails. I think that has a lot to do with trust.
Mm-hmm.
And if you trust, like, I don't know you that well, but I trust that you're not a bad person.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing that, that's extending love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think, I don't know. So, yeah, I don't know if I entirely agree with your previous statement. Yeah,
but I mean, it's kind of more that, like, that side of people that seems to be so vocally prominent now.
It's a vocal minority.
Yes, but it's also responsible for the things that I have to deal with. As an immigrant.
Oh, absolutely.
And maybe it's because I'm also a really logical person.
Right.
And so logically, this whole concept of acceptance is part of the American dream.
It's supposed to be. It's supposed to be. And as much as America has touted that it is, that's not ever really been true. I mean, I don't know. Part of it is true. The idea of you can come here and you can experience your dreams and goals. And yes, that does happen because there's the opportunity for that to happen. Mm. It also doesn't happen because we've, you know, historically subjected a lot of people to a lot of bad things.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm sitting here as a 35-year-old white dude.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't get any easier. You know, I mean, I've come from a good family. They make good money. Like, I didn't grow up in a shitty way. So it's, I'm lucky.
Yeah.
And that white privilege fucking thing that exists, it's real. And I don't like it.
Yeah.
You know, and to have friends who've who have immigrated, who have entrenched themselves in what this is. And it feels strange because I'm conscious to it all the time. Mm. I try to be as self-aware as possible. I have a tendency to look out more, you know, than a day-to-day thing, just trying to see how everything is playing around me. But
yeah,
it's a thing, and it's really weird because I want what I have for everybody, because everybody deserves the opportunity to have a fair shot at whatever it is that they want to do.
Yeah,
and it just drives me fucking crazy that sort of privilege can go the other direction.
I was talking to a different friend who kind of said the same thing, that like, oh, I'm sorry that I'm like, you know, like I'm this white American person, and like I'm sorry I can't help you or whatever, that my situation. And I'm like, I don't really care that you have privilege.
Right.
I don't really, it doesn't affect, your privilege doesn't affect me.
Right.
I care that you care.
Right. Well, and that's, yeah, I mean, I don't, by saying like I can't help you, that's not true.
Yeah.
That's not even remotely true. Of course he can help you. And that doesn't mean like, here's some money. It's not like that. The idea of being lucky enough to come from a generation that really, for all their evils and goods, they at least made sure they could care for their kids for the most part. And it's created this cultural thing we've got. And I believe that the people who are in a situation like mine, and who are actively trying to make things better, that's what we're fighting for. Yeah. And current administration aside, or any of those other things, we're in Oklahoma too, where it's getting real weird politically. But you know, the idea of just, look, this isn't that hard.
Yeah.
We just have to be able to say, everybody can get along and everybody can work together. And if I work hard to make sure that somebody else can also work hard, then don't we all benefit?
Yeah.
I don't think it's rocket science, but apparently I'm a communist or something, you know?
Well, to even say that, like, if we all work hard to all benefit, that is like a terrifying thought to any, like, you know, person in the 1960s.
But what is our state motto? Labor conquers all.
Yeah. That's...
Come on, guys. Yeah. That's the state motto.
Yeah.
And I think it's really true of Oklahomans. We work really hard for what we have. But then, and then people get real greedy about it too, and that's okay. It's yours. You can do what you want with it. I can't define that for you, but you would hope that you would want to help other people with it.
Yeah, and that's,
you know, whatever it is.
Yeah,
you know?
And that's why sometimes the fight isn't political. That's not necessarily a political fight.
It's an ideological fight.
Yeah, it's. People don't want to be forced to give money to the poor if they don't want to.
But that's what taxes are.
Yeah, yes. and people probably shouldn't, given the way that, you know, the capitalism is set up. But
sure. But in the part that freaks me out, to take this back to the believing thing, is like some of the most atrocious things that have happened. Not just in our lifetime or in the last 5 years or in the last 1,000 years, but it drives me completely bonkers. The idea of just subjugating people or not, like all these fucking, I say this, I'm trying to be tactful.
You can say whatever you want.
I know, but I try to be, as nice as I can to everybody, you know, within a guideline. But like the idea of these crazy religious nuts, and then just be like, yeah, well, we got to get rid of Muslims or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like, you understand it's the same God.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you get that, but it's, you know, it's like, It's all the same.
Yeah.
What's the deal?
Yeah.
You know, I just don't get it. Or, you know, aren't you supposed to help people?
Yeah.
So get involved.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it has consistently been hypocritically run. So, I mean,
well, it all starts in a good place, but usually ends in a bad place.
And I always have to do this caveat of like, I dislike all religion equally.
Yeah. Yeah.
And sure. And to say that Islam doesn't have
it has radical crazy people too.
Well,
but it is the largest religion in the world, mm-hmm. and it's generally always been considered an incredibly peaceful, incredibly beautiful, mm-hmm. art forward sort of religion. But yeah, there are extreme versions of that. There's also what's the crazy Southern Baptist people who picket things?
Westboro.
There's also those people. Mm. And everyone's like, no, it's fine because they like Jesus. It's like, no, it's not fine.
Mm.
You wanna throw people out as a blanket statement, but not address the own situation in your own country with your own extremism.
What
are you talking about?
The problem with that is that Westboro hasn't it goes even farther with, like, with the KKK. Like, that's like Westboro is like a midway, like conservatively extreme, but like the KKK is the farthest that you can go there.
Yeah, it's pretty much
and so violence in general should be a no-go. Given the
it should be, but but most go ahead.
Being
finish.
Civilized human beings, hopefully.
yeah, but I mean, yes. But we are also animals.
Yeah.
And sometimes violence, I'm not saying people should hit people, but sometimes violence is the thing that gets through to people.
Mm.
I don't hit people. Mm-hmm. I don't. It's not what I do, but I understand that I can't rationally talk to my dog either.
Mm.
You know, I can't be like, listen, we've had it's been a rough day and you peed on the carpet and that's really upsetting to me. And like, I can't have that conversation with the dog either, but I also don't just go and beat my dog.
Yeah.
You know, at some point there's an animal aspect of sometimes somebody just needs to be punched in the face, you know, and I'm not saying you beat them to a bloody pulp, but sometimes someone's being a complete asshole. So, and the only way to get through to them might be that.
Should Nazis be punched in the face?
Yeah, absolutely. You can't talk to somebody who's gonna fight you with everything that they've got.
Mm.
So if someone's willing to wipe you out,
right?
You being whatever it is, right? Jews, Muslims, Christians, atheists,
sure.
Black people, white people. It doesn't make any difference. If somebody, they're dead set on you have to go, you can't just be like, hey, I know we have a difference.
Sure.
We can try to talk through this difference. And that's where you start.
Yeah. Well,
if somebody just walks up to me and threatens me and I have no other recourse, I'm probably going to punch the dude and run. Right? I mean, it's like, I'm not trying to start a war, but.
Yeah. Well, I have this, like, I'm, like, radically peaceful. Like,
sure.
It's
peaceful protest,
stupid.
Man. No, it's not stupid. It's not stupid. I mean, look what peaceful protest has done.
Yeah.
But to some extent, you have to endure people dying on the behalf of the cause. Mm. You have to, I am not that person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not the person who's going to sit here and die for a cause. I will fight for the cause.
Yeah.
And if I get punched in the face, the odds are I'll take the first one.
Mm.
The odds are not good that I will take the second
one. Sure.
But I don't condone violence.
The thing is that my like violence philosophy is like extremely like small in the sense that like it's really precise. So I always use like a math analogy because it's the best way that I've thought of it so far, which is like if someone, let's say the lethal force is the number two.
Okay.
Someone comes at you with one.
Sure.
And so to stop them, you have to push back.
Right.
And add one.
Right.
Like push them back to two.
Sure.
Lethal force.
Right.
To me, I want to bring it down to zero.
Sure.
And so it doesn't mean like, doing active violence. It means basically doing negative violence, which is just like neutralizing people.
Yeah.
Which is really hard.
But neutralizing somebody doesn't always mean nonviolence either.
Yes.
So here's the best example I can think of. I was in summer camp with Boy Scouts.
Yeah.
And we were playing water polo. And we were winning pretty heavily. And they had this one player who's this just huge, scary dude. Yeah. And he went to go throw it, and I tried to rip it out of the back. As he went back, I was behind him, and I tried to steal it.
Yeah.
So big, so scary. I'm not a small person, right?
Mm.
Ball behind his head, throws it with me attached to it, right?
Oh, geez.
And I was like, what the fuck? That was crazy. I got up. No big deal. We're playing sport, right? So, but then his scoutmaster corrected him, said, hey, you need to take it easy. That dude got out of the water and tried to kill his scoutmaster. It was insane. So my dad, being a fantastic person, saw this happen. The guy comes up, rears back to take out his scoutmaster and just start wailing on him. Dad grabs his arm as it's coming up, flips him around, and neutralizes the situation. But by doing that, he had to hurt the kid.
Yeah, yeah.
Not intentionally.
Yeah.
He just stopped the other thing. And so was able to pull it back, get him on the ground, arm up into brake position.
Yeah.
It was one of those. And it was like, are you done?
Sure.
So exactly. If we're done, and that's we can exactly, be done. Yeah.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. That complete nonviolence is impractical because you're going to get killed.
Yeah. You're going to get rolled over. Yeah.
But you can't fight fire with fire.
No, no, no.
You're just going to make a bigger fire.
Yeah.
And so doing that neutralizing method, instead of actively punching Nazis in the face or even like just...
But Nazis are the best example of people to punch.
But that's exactly like you're also taking away your own like point of saying like, well, people should have free speech or whatever. It's like, sure.
They should.
And so if someone's going to be standing outside saying, Hail Hitler,
Well, he's not around. He's not around anymore.
Well, yeah.
That's the good news.
Yeah, but like the Nazi guy standing outside yelling, you know, kill all Jews, kill all black people.
Sure.
You shouldn't just punch him in the face.
No, I'm not going to walk up to him and punch him.
Which has been done.
It has been done. Yeah.
And is, as far as I've seen, praised. And it shouldn't be.
It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be because you've accosted somebody. But when somebody is actively preaching for negativity in the world and on other people,
yeah,
they should also socially be reprimanded.
Yes.
So, but...
A punch in the face is a way to reprimand them.
Yeah. It's not the nicest way.
Yeah, it's not. To me, it's not ideal.
No, it's not ideal. I'm not just going to walk up to anybody randomly and punch them in the face. But.
It's not just any random person. It's a Nazi.
Yeah, but I'd have to be engaged in that conversation and be physically threatened before you do something about it. But, yeah, it's. Nazi punching, though. It does sound like a fun sport.
It does.
In theory.
But you're also, like, bringing yourself, like, down.
No, of course, of course. I mean, I agree with you in that statement. But it's just always, I just don't like Nazis.
And you shouldn't.
I shouldn't.
No, nobody should like Nazis.
Nobody should like Nazis.
Nobody should be like, ah, it's okay. Like, it's not okay.
No.
You shouldn't punch in the face, though.
No, not unwarranted punching in the face. No.
But I mean, there is a level of effectiveness to ridicule, honestly.
Sure.
Bad ideas should be reprimanded and to an extent ridiculed.
Yeah.
Because it's sometimes kind of effective.
It can be.
It
can also make those people go crazy and do really terrible things too. Yeah.
Well, that's why communication
has to be part of the thing.
Yeah. But then also education.
Yeah. Well, yeah. The most basic thing that we could solve most of our problems with is by just educating people.
Yeah. But, yeah. Which the state of Oklahoma has been so great at.
Yeah. yeah, I'm not. Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah.
It's bad. It's scary. Bad.
What do you think about, I mean, just what's the future here?
Oklahoma?
Yeah.
The future is, that depends on what we're talking about. I think that the future, I don't know. I've said this and I'm not even sure I should. I'm not gonna. So, I think the future lays in the hands of the people that that are willing to take hold of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I can speak from my perspective and the perspective of my friends and the people that I'm around a lot that we're not interested in continuing what is currently happening.
Mm-hmm.
And are actively trying to make things better, mm-hmm. you know, and for our potential children and all those other people who are, you know,
yeah.
Like the idea of where we're at is a little scary, but everything comes in waves,
mm-hmm.
and everything's a cycle. So at some point the shoe's on the other foot.
Yeah.
I don't know that Oklahoma will ever go all the way opposite of where it's at just because mm-hmm. the nature of the state. But I feel positively for the future because I think that if you're willing to get involved, it's great. And I think hopefully that the American public is waking up to the idea of what is going on in their governments. The passive, I don't know, just the passive way that in which we deal with our government is really sad.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah, it's sad. And so to have that kind of privilege just by being born in America
mm-hmm.
And then to piss on it.
Yeah.
Is super frustrating. And be like, I don't know, man, I don't vote. And it's like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Don't tell me you don't like it then.
Mm-hmm.
It means if you're going to not vote, you have to say yes, sir.
Yeah.
You know, but you have to be involved. And I think that re-election's going to be interesting.
Mm.
You know, so whenever those things come up. And so we'll see. I mean, we've got some people who are really pushing for some really terrible things that do have some steam in the legislature. But we'll see.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be optimistic because I think, if I'm just negative all day long and just I'm gonna self implode, and I feel like the right people will, you know, what do they say, the good will out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't always know that I believe that, but I want to believe it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, I mean, it's kind of gotten to the point where there's people that don't mind or don't care, and will just continue just passively being here
because it doesn't affect them. That's what they yeah. think, but it absolutely affects
yeah,
them.
Yeah, and when those people have yeah. kids or the kids that they already have,
but you're teaching people inactivity, and this is the thing that I think about all the time. It's like, I don't have kids, but I probably will.
Mm-hmm.
And I know plenty of people who have had kids, and it's just like the repetition of exactly what they grew up in. Mm. And it's the saddest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
You know, it's like people not actively listening to what they're doing, mm-hmm. or what has been done to them, or to the things that are happening in the community and making changes. I understand that sometimes it's hard to do.
Yeah.
That cycles have to happen. But you also, if you don't want them, break it.
Yeah.
It's not rocket science. Yeah, yeah. It means you have to work hard. Mm-hmm. But aren't you supposed to?
Mm-hmm. Labor conquers all, I guess.
I guess, yeah. I mean, you have to think outside yourself for 5 fucking seconds.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, just turn Facebook off for 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And think about it.
Yeah.
It's not hard.
Yeah. And I mean, then there's also the people who just don't see a future here and just leave.
I did.
Yeah.
I did, because there was no future for me here.
Mm-hmm.
I came back because there was.
Yeah.
I watched this town change in the time I was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that I saw an actual future in. It took me a long time to realize that. I mean, I got out.
Yeah.
I got out and never intended on coming back,
mm-hmm.
until I needed to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And what this town has become is very positive. It's a lot different place than I grew up in.
Yeah.
And it continues to grow and continues to change.
Mm-hmm.
ACM has changed the way music is perceived in this state.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't tell you the amount of, I mean, yeah, the music scene still is trying.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got a hotbed now of people who are writing music together, who actually this could turn into something.
Yeah.
And it's really exciting. So yeah. I think Oklahoma, at least in the cities, at least in Tulsa, Oklahoma City, the big cities, mm-hmm. rather.
Norman, probably.
Yeah, for sure, Norman. But Norman is as liberal as Oklahoma's ever going to get.
Yeah.
You know, it's just because it's just so big, college-y. And yeah, Norman kind of lives in its own own world. And in the best ways, I enjoy that town. But Oklahoma City and Tulsa, you can see there's a want, there's a desire for something better. Yeah, and if you live out in the boonies, this doesn't affect you.
Yeah.
You know, and that's okay. I mean, mm-hmm. there's nothing wrong with the boonies or, you know, or it's weird. It's weird. We'll see where it goes.
Because, I mean, for me, I don't intend on staying.
Sure.
And
You got to leave. I think everyone has to leave where they're from.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an active believer in that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't think I'm coming back.
It's okay.
It's not even so much like I do understand that music is becoming a hotbed here. Like there's something here, and I really see that, and I appreciate that. But I do intend on having kids someday.
Yeah.
And I don't want this for them.
Sure. It's fair enough. You know, I mean, I think that's everyone has to make that call for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I don't think anybody's butt hurt that you're not coming back. Like, you got to do it for you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why else would you do it? You know, it's like the whole point of traveling and seeing things and being parts of different communities mm-hmm. makes you a better person every single time you do it.
Yeah.
Whether the experience was positive or negative during that time is irrelevant, because you're still going to take something away from it.
Yeah.
And the good news about me coming back is I brought those things with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I intend on using those to help change the situation around me.
Yeah.
And I think to some extent I've done that.
Yeah.
To others I haven't. But, you know, I'm at least, trying to bring whatever it is that I know into the pool. And I think everybody who does that, no matter what pool you end up in, you make it a better pool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that you're one of the great many parts that makes ACM like,
well, thank you,
what it is.
I appreciate that.
And I mean, part of that is kind of because you are at the foundation and at the very last stage, since you, for me, you've taught my first class, and I will be here for a little while longer, but sure. Like, you guys are, and gals are feeding into what makes this place unique.
Yeah.
And you're all responsible for some of these students, like, big fulfilling careers.
Sure.
Yeah.
We're responsible for successes and failures equally. I mean, it's not something that we dwell on, I think. It's just sure. Nice to know that people are out there doing what they want to do, you know? And, that's the positive side. The negative side is, well, I guess the negative side is the same thing as the positive side, too. If I've shown somebody that this is not for them,
yeah,
they win as well, you know? So, I don't know. It's a really weird positive side, but it's strange. It's interesting. And yeah, thank you for saying that. I mean, I feel like we've got a really good community of people who want to be here to help people learn, you know, and be interested in the things that they need to be or want to be interested in. Whether or not they continue in it is a personal decision on their part. But there's a lot of wants that I think we would like to have as part of this school, but I think no matter what, the end result is still positive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if there's things that we have shortcomings with, that's okay. You know, we can work through those, but I think that the instructors are good. I don't think we have a bad person in house, and I think that's really unique and fun to be around.
And I mean, like, well, I guess sort of a silly question, do you think that some of these students that you're teaching are going to be taking your job at some point?
No
just be doing what they do.
They'll do what they do.
I
hope that somebody hires you for not the reasons they're gonna hire me.
Sure.
You know, no, I remember feeling like that, like the first couple of years, like I'm teaching these kids how to do what I do. And then I realized you can't do what I do.
Yeah.
That's it. You know, I mean, the way I approach it is different from how you approach it. The equipment set is different. The sonic palette is different. There's so many things that I can't teach you to do what I do. I can teach you how to hopefully have some foundational knowledge that then turns into what you do.
Yeah.
That's my hope, at least, you know. So, no, I don't feel threatened by anyone. Because you're honestly 10 years away from being what I can do, because I've got a leg up on it just because I've been doing it longer. So, yeah, maybe you can get where I'm going. It might just take you longer, and that's okay, too.
Yeah.
And I don't say that with any sort of ego, really, just as more of a practical thing. It's not like, you can't do it. Of course you can do what I do, but it's just gonna take your time.
I think at some point there's gonna be some clash in between the way that music is being done here at ACM and just how that extends into OKC, and between the rest of the values that Oklahoma City seems to represent.
I'd agree with that.
What do you think is gonna, like, will that be a positive?
it can only be positive, because the dialogue that will come from it can only end in dialogue, and whether that dialogue turns into something or not is at least there's awareness. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, there are certain amounts of backlash that are associated with musicians in town who don't like ACM bands or whatever. Sure. And it's like, oh, fine. I didn't ask you to like it. You know, there's more engineers in quotation marks here now than there ever were, which means most people are just hanging out on their laptop trying to make music. And that's great. Yeah. That's great. Hopefully that can lead to something, you know. People start working with bands and those bands do better, and then there's budgets and, you know, all those things continually make things better.
Yeah.
but you have to have someone start the conversation.
Yeah.
You know, and we've been fortunate enough to be a conversation starter. Mm. So if you don't like it, great.
Yeah.
You don't affect what I'm doing at all.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking about it, mm-hmm. and that's a good thing. You know, whether it's positive or negative press, I don't think anybody cares.
Yeah.
Because we know what we're doing. We know what we're doing. Not, you know, it's like, we know why we're here. We're trying to do the best thing we can. Mm-hmm. The kids who come out of here are going to have positive or negative feelings about it. Mm-hmm. The thing that I learn more about education is less to do with me mm-hmm. and more to do with how that person is in that particular time in their life. And that took me going through college and realizing that as now a 35-year-old person looking back at college experience and trying to make qualitative decisions on how to help transmit information to people.
Yeah.
You know, so much of it comes down to, are you here? Mm-hmm. You know, not just physically. Are you, do you want to learn?
Yeah.
Okay. Cause if you don't, that's okay too. Mm-hmm. Just don't go spend the money, you know, just wait until you want to,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so I don't know, there's a lot of expectation that I think has to be,
sure.
valued differently. So,
I mean, I wish I was a little bit more involved outside of just class.
Sure.
And that also has to do with just, like, what I'm going through in my life outside of, like, so, like, I wish I could be more involved to be, like, one of the studio helper guys.
Yeah.
But, like, there's only, like, 2 to 3 positions for that.
There's only 2 to 3 positions. And, you know, but it comes, I mean, life happens.
Yeah.
And you can't stop it. Mm-hmm. So the best thing you can do is figure out what is important at that point in your life and maximize what you can get out of it.
Sure.
You know, this whole career driven community that we've fostered is sometimes, I think, a misnomer, and it burns a lot of people out really quickly. I mean, if you know what you want to do and you're passionate about it, you'll do it for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
But if you don't know, you're going to make weird decisions for a long time, feel lost, and then have a midlife crisis.
Yeah.
You know, and hey, maybe that's for some people too. But I don't know. Know what you want to do.
Yeah.
Or don't. And then just walk around until you figure it out, you know? It's okay.
So. I usually end the second podcast not with what advice do you have, but what stuff have you been listening to or
that's a good question.
That you want other people to experience?
Well, all right. So I'm looking at my phone, even though I said that was stupid. I'm just digging through things I've either purchased or listened to recently. I mean, my head is kind of exclusively in modular synthesis world right now, just because it's challenging me in a really interesting way, and I'm enjoying that. Musically, this Kate Tempest record is phenomenally good. It's a hip hop record released last year. She's from London, and it's brilliant. It's very, very politically charged, but very, very poignant. Very, very good. Anderson .Paak basically was one of the better things to happen this last year for me. I really loved his record Malibu. I got turned onto a record from a really strange band called the Blue Nile. I've never heard of them. And it's like an 80s thing. And the record's called Hats, and it's so ridiculously good. That's been kind of fucking me up a little bit. And digging back a little bit into some really weird music, the Mei Shi I've been listening to a lot, and Terror Bird, that record is so strange, but so good. So there's all sorts of stuff. The new John K. Samson record's been really, really good. Lyrically, he's one of my favorite lyricists out there. Love him.
And then people can look at the stuff that you worked on, people that absolutely. You've worked with.
I mean, there's a record I started yesterday with this guy, Chris Combs from Tulsa, and it's mind-bogglingly good.
Yeah.
Like, just excited to be involved with it good. Yeah. One of those you're like, oh, okay, yeah, this is This is very challenging and very cool. And yeah, I couldn't be happier to be working on it. It's really cool. Yeah. And then, I mean, then all the other people I'm usually working with, but the Bo Jennings and the Tiger stuff, we're working on a new record there. And yeah, it's exciting. It's an exciting time.
Yeah. Some cool stuff.
Yeah.
Once again, thank you for doing this with me.
Thank you for asking.
Yeah. Where can we find your stuff?
You can find my stuff. I'm just MichaelTrepanier.com. That's me.
And then once again, spell it because people are
TREPAGNIER.
Yay. do you have the domain for a Cardinal song?
Yeah, it's all under the same thing.
Oh, cool.
So if you go to Cardinal Song Records, it'll take you to Michael Trepanier. Oh, it's all basically the same thing. If you look up Cardinal Song, that's the only thing that'll usually pop in. Yeah. So yeah.
So if you can't spell Trepanier, that works too.
Exactly.
Again, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Santiago Ramones. I make music. You can find that, all the stuff that I do, on my website, santiagoramones.com, at which you can find this podcast, which I always end with my three things, which are love never fails, it's going to be okay, I might be wrong.
Cool.